shattering myths, we're going to turn our attention to my good friend IQ Arasuli. Our topic today is going to be to expose the myth of Palestine and the mythical people known as Palestinians. I did want to respond to one last comment that Nick raised. I'm sure he is still listening. And Nick, the example that you gave, which is that it is selfish because God doesn't save the kid that runs out in front of a car if that kid is not part of his family. The reason that there's a problem with that particular example is that if I'm a member of his covenant family, and if I'm stupid enough to run out in front of a car, it's not going to save me from being run over by the car either. That's not the kind of salvation that he is offering. God is not a micro manager. He's not a meddler. He's into free will. If I choose to run out in front of a car, then I'm going to suffer the consequences of getting run over by the car. The benefits of the covenant, all five of them, speak to eternity with him in his home. And so he's only going to provide those benefits to those who have accepted the provisions of the covenant and whom he has adopted into his family. So it's important to know that your particular example describes a deity that is in man's image, the kind of deity that Tim Tebow worships, which is the micromanager that's involved in every aspect of our lives and determines who wins and loses games. If God were to do that, then no one would ever die. There would be nothing, no choice, no meaning to life. Nothing would have any value or merit the moment you begin to go down that path of God never allowing anybody to do anything stupid. Speaking of people doing things stupid, this whole concept of a place called Palestine and a people called Palestinians is, well, to quote a word, stupid. Is it not, IQ Arasuli?
Very, very stupid, but it has hoodwinked thousands of millions of people, forgetting the 1,500 million followers of Muhammad.
Right.
Hundreds of millions of people outside Darul Islam are subscribing to it, which is unbelievable.
Right. Yeah, and this myth is a modern myth. I mean, it's amazing how many people are hoodwinked into really fairly modern contrivances, because even though the Romans came up with the name Palestina, because they read it in the Torah, and they knew that Israel's most hated enemy was the Philistines, that when they applied it to the land, no one paid any attention to it. It was still the province of Yehuda. It really wasn't until after 1948 and the reestablishment of the state of Israel, and even until 1968 and the Six-Day War, that we have this notion that there is a place called Palestine and a people called Palestinians, correct?
Correct. Before 1964, nobody heard of a people called Palestinians. It was Yasser Arafat who created that.
Yeah, and the reality is that there were a people called Philistines. The world would know nothing about the people called Philistines if it were not for the Torah, prophets, and Psalms. I mean, that's the only place where the people are named, where we actually come to know them, and we come to know their interaction with Israel. And of course, there's been lots of archaeological digs that have proven that the Torah, prophets, and Psalms testimony regarding these people is accurate, but nothing is known of their culture, nothing is known of their language, nothing is known of them apart from there's a few pottery samples that suggest that the Philistines may have migrated from the Mycenaeans.
From the Greek islands.
Yeah, from the Greek islands. But that's about, and we only know that because of some pottery shards that share some commonality, which, you know, very well could have been just they were doing trading, and when they took the goods in trade, they were in a Mycenaean pottery. But apart from that, Nothing is known of them that isn't told to us in the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms, except one thing. We know they don't exist anymore.
They didn't exist even 1,500 years ago.
That is correct. You can go back further than that. You can go back. They ceased to exist 2,500 years ago because they were they were actually conquered by what would be considered the heart of Islam today, correct?
Correct. But before them, they were conquered by Solomon.
Yes.
And by David.
Yes.
They stopped existing literally, as you said, over 2,500 years ago.
Yeah, they prevailed. The Philistines were involved in a number of skirmishes with the Egyptians, although their name isn't recorded as such. They were involved in some skirmishes with Ramses in league with other city groups. And by the way, they never occupied any area larger than Gaza. Then they started to attack Israel, and they prevailed there for a while. Like King Saul was, Shaul was, and his sons were actually killed by them. And it was David who ultimately prevailed against them. But David didn't wipe them out. The Philistines were wiped out, completely annihilated by the Assyrians, and that was 2,500 years ago.
Correct.
So to name a place, right? So to the furthest you could say for this ancient place called where the Philistines lived, you could call Gaza. But to say that the West Bank, Judea and Samaria is part of Palestine is just not to know your history. So there was a place where the Philistines lived, which is Gaza. But the problem with ascribing that name to them now or a people to that is that all trace of those people's gone. There's not a single one of them alive. There is no connection whatsoever to that place. So every bit of this so-called Palestinian state and Palestinian people, is a complete and utter lie.
Well, Saeb Arakat, the one who always represents the Palestinians, he said they are descended from the Canaanites. Nobody had the brains to ask him, but where did you find the word Canaanite? outside the Torah and the Bible. Nobody asked him that question.
Yeah, and by the way, that's not what the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms says. The Torah, Prophets, and Psalms calls the land that we know as Yisrael, that's God's chosen name for the land, the Yisrael. He said that it was originally called the land of the Canaanites. But what he actually says of the Philistines, and this is, again, 100% of what we know about these people is in the Yahweh's Torah, Prophets, and Psalms. He says they were actually descendants from from Mitzrayim. And the Mitzrayim means the crucible of Egypt. And so there is a very significant possibility, in fact, a likelihood, that what we consider as Egypt today was actually a large number of communities. There in the far north, you had Mycenaean sea peoples influencing, particularly because of the power of what the civilization that existed on Crete, Mykonos and the like. So you had very powerful sea peoples up there on the northern coast. And then you had them also, the Phoenicians up there north of Israel. And it appears that there was a considerable interaction for years of what is Mitzrayim, Egypt, and a variety of different peoples. And those from the north may will have been the racial stock, if you will, for these Phoenicians. But that group of sea people doesn't exist. You know what even the progenitors to what may have been the Philistines, you know that they were wiped out also. Now, they were not wiped out in a war, but they were wiped out because of the tsunami that followed the volcanic explosion on what we call Santorini today, the island of Santorini. When it exploded, it wiped out all of the island cultures, including probably the most developed culture in the world at the time on the large island of Crete. and they were all gone. They were all extinguished in a moment, including all of the people that would have lived along the coast in northern Egypt. So you can't even say, okay, so we weren't from the Canaanites. We weren't from the a separate individual group. We're really from northern Egypt, but all those people were wiped out also about 3,500 years ago.
Correct. But I would like our listeners to... I'm going to have a bit of a monologue. Do you mind?
Sure, go ahead. Absolutely.
But because I want to address this issue, Palestine-Palestinians. Mm-hmm. Most of the historical peoples that we know, such as the Sumerians, Babylonians, Assyrians, Chinese, Mayas, etc., mm-hmm. each and every one of them left their mark on history, whether mm-hmm. in writing or in monuments.
Mm-hmm.
The Palestinian people, had they ever existed, should obviously have also left their mark. That's a matter of pure logic.
Mm-hmm.
Nowhere in the whole of the Quran and the Hadith, right. Nowhere in the whole of Arab history is the land of Palestine or a Palestinian people are ever mentioned.
Correct.
Or alluded to or remarked upon.
Correct.
The so-called Palestinians have absolutely no idea, in fact, when you talk to Palestinians, they have no idea where their very name comes from. They, as usual, with the ignorance of Muhammad's followers,
right.
contort and mix up historical places and characters by identifying the Canaanites with the Philistines, and then they say we are descendants of them.
Can I interrupt just one second? If yeah. what that means, and I want you to continue just as soon as I'm finished this interruption, their name is derived from Yahweh and his Torah, prophets, and Psalms. And if their name is derived from Yahweh, then what Yahweh has to say about them must also hold to be true. You can't say, I'm going to take the name, but I'm going to discard everything else. Because if you take the name from the only place that it's actually given to us, then you know that the people not only ceased to exist, but they were God's enemies.
You're absolutely right. but they don't care. Palestinians, so-called Palestinians, Arab and Muslim, mm-hmm. they don't care about facts and reality.
No.
It's only
right.
their perception of facts and reality that makes sense to them. Supposing, if our academics...
Go ahead.
Historians... Oh, yeah. Okay, I'll come afterwards.
Okay. We actually have about 15 seconds, but it is... What IQ is going to be communicating to us is essential, because this is the catalyst for World War III. As a result of this myth and our ignorance of the truth, over half of the world's population is going to die. So there is no myth more worthy of debunking than this one. We'll be back in a moment. Shattering Myths. We're here with IQ Al-Rasuli, getting his perspective on the myth of a place called Palestine and a myth of a people known as Palestinians. The reason, of course, IQ, and I'm going to let you return to what you were addressing, but the reason, of course, that this myth is being promoted is because if the world accepts, as most people do, that there are a people called Palestinians and a place called Palestine, it seems only right that they be able to establish their race, their identity, and their land, and that if somebody else is in that land, they are occupying it under false premises, and that's the whole myth that is being promoted and why it's being promoted. But the moment you undermine the myth and you say, there is no such thing as a Palestinian, there is no such thing as a place called Palestine, the entire raison d'etre for this rage against Israel and this notion that Israel is occupying other people's lands disappears.
Completely. And I'm going to do that in the next few minutes, literally.
Please. Good.
If our academics, historians, politicians, and others are so sure that Palestine and its people go back throughout most of recorded history, one would expect them to be able to answer a few basic questions about that country of Palestine and its people. But if they cannot answer most of the following questions, then there never was a state called Palestine and or a people called Palestinian. For example, where did the forefathers of the alleged current Palestinians come from? When was Palestine founded and by whom? What language did the Palestinians speak? What writings did they use? What manuscripts have they left? What was their religion? Where are their temples? What monuments attest to their existence? What were the borders of Palestine? What was the name of the capital of Palestine? Can anybody name the major cities of Palestine? What was the name of the currency that they used? What form of government did they have? What achievements have they accomplished? What other people did Palestine interact with? Where can one find any records wherein the name of the country Palestine and its people are mentioned? What archaeological sites can one name? Where can one find the recorded history of these people outside the current affairs of today? Whom did the Palestinians conquer or were conquered by? Was Palestine ever recognized by a state or a country whose existence at that time or now leaves any room for misinterpretation? Can anyone name at least five Palestinian kings or leaders before Arafat? Since there is no such functional state today, what caused its demise and when did this demise occur? Finally, those who are lamenting the low sinking of a once proud nation, please tell us, when exactly was this proud nation brought down and what was it proud of? Enough questions.
Yeah, some of the questions are that you posed are answerable. Like, for example, the cities of the Philistinians, the Philistines were Ashkelon, Ashdod, Ekron, and Gath. But that being the case, the realization is there's only one place that speaks of who they fought against, who ultimately conquered them, what the name of these people once was, who some of their leaders were at one time. There is one source of information, but that one source of information, which provided completely accurate and verifiable information, has also told us that the land is Yisrael, and this happens to be God, gave it to his people, his chosen people, which are the Israelites, and that the enemy of the Israelites was the Philistines. So if you answer any of those questions using the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, then you cannot also embrace the answer of these people still exist and that the land is theirs. So the only place to answer any one of your questions is the one source that says that everything you're saying is not only untrue, it's the antithesis of what's true.
Yes, and that source that we're talking about and the subject we're talking about is over 2,700 years ago, not today.
That's correct.
What I would like to do, if you don't mind.
Sure.
We don't concentrate on the... I would like to address the issue of the promised land of the Israelites and their descendants, the Jews, not from the biblical perspective,
okay,
but astoundingly from Muhammad's Quran, that not a single follower of Muhammad would ever reveal to anybody, especially right. Quran ignoramus people.
So what you're going to do here, we both recognize that the Quran is nothing but a bunch of situational statements that Muhammad uttered for his own personal gratification, that it's all nothing but a pile of lies. But since one of the lies in the Quran is that Yisrael actually belongs to the Jews, the Muslims don't have a leg to stand on. And we'll return to IQ al-Rasuli's presentation of that information after the commercial break.
Whoops.
Shattery Mists, our guest is one of my favorite people, IQ al-Rasuli, the most effective spokesperson, I think the most rational and best informed spokesperson in the world relative to the caustic nature of the religion of Islam. And today, of course, we're talking about the mythical people known as the Palestinians, the mythical place called Palestine, and the purpose of that myth, which is to deceive people into believing that Israel is somehow occupying the homeland of these people when none of it is true. It's always been my my issue IQ, that if you have to lie to make your point isn't worth making, and never was that truer than here. So you're going to share with us what the Quran, which is, of course, a pile of lies, has to say about Israel and who it belongs to and who it was given to, which all it's going to do here is going to undermine the principal Islamic claim against claiming it as their own.
This is the beauty of it. I'm not quoting from a Zionist propaganda or a Christian point of view. This is from the Arabic of the Quran, and I will even recite some of them in Arabic. For example, Al-Isra 17.104. And we said thereafter to the children of Israel, dwell securely in the land of promise. By the way, we means Allah speaking. وَقُلْنَا مِنْ بَعْدِهِ لِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ اسْكُنُوا الْأَرْضَ. Next one, Al-A'raf 7.138. We took the children of Israel with safety across the sea, meaning the Red Sea. Yunus 10.93. We settled the children of Israel in a beautiful dwelling place and provided for them sustenance of the best. Al-Ma'idah 5.20. Remember, Moses says to his people, O my people, call in remembrance the favor of Allah upon you. When he produced prophets among you, made you kings, and gave you what he had not given to any other people of other nations. 5:21.
Can I just interrupt there? Just 1 second. It's just hilarious. When Moshe is talking to the Israelites, and he's talking about all of the kings that they've had thus far. Remember all of the prophets and all of the kings that I gave you thus far. Do you know how many prophets and prophets and kings Israel had up to that point? Zero. Zero.
I know, but
it is just hilarious that that the Yahweh establishes a criterion for us to use as a test to determine who is speaking for him and who is not. And one of the criterion is that to speak for Yahweh, you have to be able to get 100% of your predictions of the future right. And not only didn't Muhammad in his Quran get a single prediction right, he couldn't even get the past right. If you can't get history right, why would somebody in their right mind consider this moron known as Muhammad to be a prophet? All of this is just, I mean, all you have to do is just pause there a moment and say, you're reading from the Quran. The Quran has Moses speaking to the children of Israel, telling them about how they should remember all of their kings and all of their prophets, at which point they had exactly none.
Correct. But that's what you have in the Quran.
I had to interrupt. I'm sorry.
But this is beautiful. The next one is beautiful. Al-Ma'idah 5:21. Again, Moses is talking. O my people, enter the holy land which Allah had assigned unto you. Ya qawmi, udkhulu al-ardha al-muqaddasata allati kataba Allahu lakum. This is so amazing. I mean, it's so clear. It says right. Holy land, it says promised land, and it says Allah give it to him.
Okay, so what we have here is exactly the way this was introduced. We know for certain that Moshe was introduced to God and was told God's name, and that he was told that God's name is Yahweh, and that his name is based upon the Hebrew verb Haya. So we know that for certain. So we know that Allah is pretending to be Yahweh for the purpose of getting a great number of people to worship him as if he were God. Now, the beauty of what you've just read is that if you are a Muslim, the only way that you can say that that Israel doesn't belong to the Israelites is to call your God incompetent or a liar?
100%. Either incompetent or a liar.
That's correct. So it's beautiful. It's beautiful. That means as a...
Ever mentioned. You have never heard these verses.
Correct. Well, I wrote a book on the Quran, so yes, I have heard of them, but our audience has not. And so what this is saying here is that that if you're a Muslim and you're part of the this enraged group of people that blames everything in the world against Jews, then your God either lied to you or he is incompetent when he said that when you claim that Yisrael belongs to you and does not belong to them.
Correct.
Yeah, no, you've got no standing.
When I said you never heard it, I'm talking about people in public. They never mentioned it, ever.
Correct.
I've never heard any imam, any scholar of Islam ever mention these things. The next one, and I would like our listeners to pay attention. Al-Baqarah 2.47. All children of Israel, call to mind the special favor that I, Allah, bestowed upon you, and that I preferred you over the whole world. وَأَنِّي فَضَّلْتَكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. This is so important for people to hear. It's not from the Torah. It's not from the Bible. This is from the Quran in Arabic. Al-Baqarah 2.122. All children of Israel, it's a repeat, call to mind the special favor that I bestowed upon you and that I preferred you again to all other people.
Now, we have to keep in mind, we want to reemphasize this. Allah was Muhammad's alter ego. Muhammad, you've got two choices on Allah. Either Allah is nothing more than a projection of Muhammad's personality, or Allah is genuinely an independent spirit that inspired Muhammad, in which case the only independent spirit that could have inspired Muhammad, whose character is identical and whose motivations are identical to Allah, would be Satan. So those are your two options regarding this. So what you're listening to is a lie from a liar, but nonetheless, the liar's lie, which always happened this way. When liars start to lie, they always undermine their own cause. And that is precisely what is happening here. To establish his credibility, Allah is lying. But by using this means to establish his credibility, claiming to be the God of Yisrael, to establish his credibility, he's also undermining his ambition, which is to destroy Yisrael.
This is
the nature of liars.
Yeah, this is why I always said the Quran and Hadith self-destruct. The next one is Al-Dukhan 44.32. And we have chosen them, the children of Israel, above mankind and the jinn, Al-Alameen. And our choice was based on deep knowledge. It's so important. This is again, again, and again. Allah is doing the choosing.
By the way, to explain to our listeners, who are the jinn? So explain to our listeners who the jinn are.
Jinn are the evil spirits.
Right, demons, right?
Very much associated with them.
Right. Yes, in fact, Muhammad talked to them regularly. He said that he was demon-possessed, did he not?
He was demon-possessed. He said he was demon-possessed.
Yeah.
In the Quran, his Quraysh tribe said that he was demon-possessed. It's not right.
Right. He claims to be demon-possessed twice in his life. Once during his first experience with a dark spirit that beat the living tar out of him, he went back to his wife and screamed bloody murder and says, "I have been demon-possessed." And then at the end of his life, as he was dealing with the excruciating headaches and was about ready to die and couldn't imagine that his God was going to let him die, he said that he was demon-possessed, that there was a demon attached to him.
Correct. Nothing is deniable. You said they deny their own belief system and everything collapses. In fact, everything has collapsed. We're just proving. It is impossible for any human being to find a single reference to a Palestinian people and a Palestinian state beyond the year 2700 BC.
Right. In fact, 100% of what is known about the people, the places they lived, who they fought against, what ultimately happened to them, is in the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms. And if we use that information, which is all proven to be true, if we use that information, then that same source says that Yisrael belongs to the Israelites and that God gave it to them, which also destructs every myth that is being perpetrated by them. Now, as a result of this myth, and we had just in the news yesterday, Stephen Hawking, who is, like most scholars, knows many things, understands nothing, is saying that he was going to boycott this conference that was being held in Israel by Shimon. That he was going to boycott the conference because of the occupation of Jews of the Palestinian people and because of the encouragement he's received from Palestinian academics. Is there such a thing as a Palestinian academic?
Never.
Hey, back in the time,
I would pay $100,000.
Okay, back in the time, IQ, that the West Bank was under the control of Jordan, was there any discussion of a Palestinian people or of giving the people who lived in the West Bank, which was part of Jordan, their own independent state?
Never. In fact, I have a whole set of questions and answers literally addressing this.
Please go.
For 19 years, you see, they speak about two-state solutions. Everybody is right. Talking about two-state solutions. But nobody tells them the facts of life. There was a two-state solution in 1947 when the United Nations split what was left of the Palestinian mandate. By the way, the mandate of Palestine under Britain included Jordan.
Correct. It was actually called the Balfour Declaration.
It was supposed to be given to the Jews.
Yeah, it's called the Balfour Declaration.
The Arabs would have been Syria, Lebanon, Iraq, the whole of North Africa, Kuwait, and the Emirates. They had it's almost 4 million square miles they were given.
Yes. And the reason they were given that is because...
square miles of Israel.
Because Muslims in World War II fought against Britain and for Britain in World War I. And when we're dealing with Israel, a Zionist saved Britain in World War I. We'll return to the story in a moment. Segment of Shattering Myths today. We're having a conversation with IQ Arasoli. We're talking about the most deadly myth that probably exists today, at least a sub-myth of the overall myths associated with Islam, is that there is such a thing as a Palestinian people and a nation called Palestine, because it is the myth that is going to lead the world into the next world war. IQ, back in the time that before the Six-Day War, when Gaza was part of Egypt, was Egypt promoting the idea that there was a Palestinian people who deserved their own nation-state in Gaza? IQ? I don't know what happened to IQ. We show him still as connected, but... I'm unable to hear him. Well, I'm going to speak until IQ is able to rejoin us. But the reality is that prior to the Six-Day War, Gaza was controlled by Egypt. It was part of Egypt. It was actually part of the Sinai. And Egypt was unwilling to acknowledge that there was a racial group or a national group of people that were in any way, shape, or form different from the rest of Egyptians, religiously, culturally, racially, in a place called Gaza. And there was no discussion whatsoever of creating a nation state of these people, just as when Palestine became a myth only after the Israel in the Six-Day War prevailed in taking control of what is today the West Bank. It was originally Yehuda and Samaria. And so during these periods of time, there was absolutely no discussion of it being a separate racial group, a special religious group, or in any way different or any way deserving of their own independent state. They were part of Jordan. They were part of Egypt. IQ, I understand you are back with us here. I have another question to ask. Is there any Islamic nation in the world? that treats those who practice a different religion and who are racially different, as well as the as Israel treats the Muslims who are citizens of the state of Israel?
Definitely not. I mean, look at what the Muslims are doing to each other in Syria. Look what the Muslims have been doing in every single Arab country to the Palestinian so-called refugees. In Iraq, in my country, they were persecuted. And then they turned traitor. In Kuwait, they were turned against the rulers of Kuwait and supported Saddam Hussein. And they were evicted. They were evicted from the Yemen. They were evicted from Saudi Arabia. They were evicted from every single country in which they resided because they never assimilated. They never integrated. They were not allowed to integrate among the Arabs. Why? Because the Arab nations wanted the Palestinian sultan to continue forever.
Right. And by the way, in the Arab world, tribal connections are still important. And there's no denying that the so-called Palestinians today may have tribal connections, but they're Arab tribal connections, and the tribe that is associated today with the mythical people of the Palestinians were always hated in the Islamic world. If you read the original documentation that exists from the Arab League prior to 1948, what you find is a universal hatred of that particular tribe. They were hated in Egypt. They were hated in Syria. They were hated in Iraq. Despised. In fact, if you want to find the most common trait, it would be the ultimate tribe without a nation would be the Kurds today. And look how Muslims treat the Kurds. It's exactly how Muslims treated these mythical people who have now adopted the name Palestinian prior to Israel becoming a nation.
But the remarkable thing is for 19 years, from 1948 to 1967, for 19 years, there were never UN resolutions to speak about occupation. And yet, the Jordanians occupied the West Bank, and the Egyptians occupied Gaza. For 19 years, the Arabs, or the Palestinians, could have created a state for themselves. But they never even mentioned it. They never said we are Palestinians while they were under the Arabs.
They only became Palestinians
when they became under Israel.
When the United States is discussed, does it talk about the occupied territories of Texas and California?
No, unfortunately, it really doesn't.
So why would it? Since we won those territories through war, why do we still refer to the West Bank and Gaza as being occupied, when in fact they came under the possession of Israel the exact same way? Are we hypocrites?
Because they are duplicitous. That's why they're using two.
We'll be back next week.
A year ago, I began to do a lot of research in July. Even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that...